Now here's your moderator, Dana Rodriguez.
Thank you very much, Debbie, and welcome everybody to Minds Over Matter. Hope you're having a lovely weekend, a little overcast, but we all like it that way. And we also hope you can spend an hour with us because Minds Over Matter is an audience participation quiz program. So, of course, we are encouraging your participation in every way possible. All we ask you to do is give us a call with a question or answer. Those two numbers are area code 415-841-4134. Again, that is area code 415-841-4134. Or you can call toll-free. Yes, there actually is a toll-free number, 866-798-8255. That is 866-798-8255. We'll be giving you questions, and hopefully you'll be giving us questions on current events, movies, history, literature, geography, television, radio, and whatever Kira brought in. So all that being said, I do want to remind you of our email address, which is mindsovermatter.com. MindsOverMatter1. That is the numeral one, not the word one. So that's MindsOverMatter1@gmail.com. It's always a pleasure to hear from our listeners by email, and they all get read. We don't read them during the show, but they all get read. So feel free to email us anytime.
We don't even have a computer to read them on during the show.
No, well, we do. I can look at my phone, I guess.
Shh, don't tell.
Okay. And also, if you'd like to hear this show online, you can do that anywhere in the world, and I have done it in many places in the world, at kalw.org. That is kalw.org. And if you'd like to listen to the podcast of our show tonight, that will be available soon after our show, thanks to the lovely and talented Debbie Kennedy, and that will be at kalw.org, and of course later on iTunes, but it'll be best at kalw.org. Let's see, what else do I need to mention? Yes, just a reminder, I'll be reminding you every week until I give you more details about it, that October 14th is the 25th anniversary party for Minds Over Matter. I will give you more details as September rolls around. But October 14th, so we hope you will set that date aside and show up, because we really would love to meet all our listeners who can make it. And all our panelists will be there. We'll be doing the show live as opposed to dead. And
it's our best way of doing shows.
Yes. Kira will be there, and Lori will be there, and I will be there. And anyway, we would love to meet you, so we hope you can put that time aside and join us on October 14th. That is a Sunday, of course. All right, we're going to start with a round of introductions and a round of questions. And here's the first. Kira Pace doesn't know what's worse. Pause. Getting B-52's Rock Lobster stuck in her head all day, or having her iPod refuse to acknowledge that it's got Rock Lobster available for listening.
Which the question is, which is better? I think.
Is this iPad or iPod?
It's iPod. No, we have the iPod attached to the husband's car, and it refuses. It's one of those voice-activated things, and it refuses to acknowledge anything I say at all.
Other than Rock Lobster.
No, not even Rock Lobster.
It's like having a kid. Same thing. Yeah.
I've been trying to get it to play REM's Half a World Away for nearly a year. I asked it to play Amanda Palmer Young Punks, and it finally played Half a World Away at me. So I don't know what it's hearing at all.
Sounds good. It's a permanent teenager.
Yeah. I guess. It doesn't like anything I have to say.
All right.
First of all, I want to say a happy birthday to my friend Arun. So he turns one today, so happy birthday,
happy
Arun.
Happy birthday, Arun. I know he's listening.
Yes.
I'm sure he is.
He'll be calling in soon.
Anyway, Lori Fisher mourns the passing of undoubtedly the greatest singer of his lifetime and dedicates tonight's Minds Over Matter to the incredible Aretha Franklin. He will miss everything about her.
Wait a minute. Bing Crosby died 30 years ago.
He wasn't the greatest woman singer of my lifetime.
Right.
Of yours, perhaps.
Wow.
I do them as they come. Yeah. I don't know what else happened that week.
All right.
If anybody displeases him tonight, our moderator, Dana Rodriguez, will be revoking their security clearance.
All right. There we go. And we'll begin with Kira Pace.
All right. So this is exciting. We are trying something a little bit new. So I'm going to have, in just a second, Debbie will play something for me.
Wow.
And I will want three pieces of information about it. So
you bypassed authority to do this.
Oh, did I?
That's right.
Uh-oh.
Is this like telling your iPad to play the B-52s or REM?
No, hopefully this will work.
All right.
Okay. Ready? Did you hear that?
Yeah.
Okay, so the three pieces of information I would like about that is what is that sound file best known as? What actor produced this sound as an uncredited extra? And what is the title of this actor's Billboard Top 40 song?
Is that the Wilhelm Scream?
It is the Wilhelm Scream. Wow. Yes, from Distant Drums.
Oh, I thought it was Escape from Fort Bravo or something like that. Is it Distant Drums?
Okay. Yes, and so do you know the actor who is the voice of the Wilhelm Scream?
Well, it's either Wilhelm or that's the engineer who filed it and used it constantly. Is it either one of those things?
It is not.
It's somebody who had a top 40 Billboard hit, huh?
That's correct, yeah. So
what era?
50s.
Yeah, early 50s. So in the early 50s.
So how about somebody like Stan Freberg?
No.
Well, it's been used constantly since then.
Is it somebody like Stan Freberg or more?
Yeah,
somebody more
as far as top 40 hits go, you are kind of on the right track there. Again, this is an uncredited extra from the movie Distant Drums, which is from 1951. And this person had a top 40 hit in the late 50s. So,
the person make movies as well?
Yes.
Oh, Sheb Woolley.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
Oh, that's two bells.
Is that the Purple People Eater?
It's the Purple People Eater.
There you go.
The Wilhelm Scream Sheb is the Woolley. Voice of
He was
the
in a
purple.
Bunch of Westerns. That's why the reason I knew that.
Yeah.
That's
so,
all right. All right, give us another question.
Okay.
I'm sorry to put you
Sheb
all that.
Sheb Woolley.
Effort.
Nice to see him working.
No, it's just I never knew until this past week that the Purple People Eater and the Wilhelm Scream were the same voice.
All right,
here is something quick. Early drafts of the Dark Crystal script featured a race of underground mining creatures. Similar creatures were later integrated into what TV show?
Too much to hope for would be the Sheb Woolley Show.
No, it's not the Sheb Woolley Show.
All right.
Not related to anything.
Did you take your bells for that, by the way? That's worth three bells.
I agree.
One bell. Yeah. I'll give myself one bell. All right.
He's modest person. Yeah.
Also, thank you, Debbie.
All right, read that once more, if you don't mind.
Sure. Early drafts of the Dark Crystal script featured a race of underground mining creatures. Similar creatures were later integrated into what TV show?
Underground mining creatures. Mm-hmm. Were they underground mining creatures on the TV show, too?
They were. I think the key is knowing what the Dark Crystal is.
Oh, so I kind of know what the Dark Crystal is, but so I'm just trying to get, I remember the year for this 80s maybe?
Early 80s.
Early
80s.
And then was it a children's show?
Yes.
Fraggle Rock?
It's Fraggle Rock. Yep.
Oh, man.
It's burning through my questions.
All right.
Sheb Woolley and Fraggle Rock
I know.
In one night. I don't want you to retire, but you can rest on some of those laurels.
I cut a wide swath through the junk knowledge. And Lori, you go ahead.
All right. Well, we'll see if you continue here. So
it's all junk knowledge, Kira. We're not singling you out.
Some of my questions were inspired by the passing of Aretha Franklin, as well as me coming across a list that NPR put out after polling writers, musicians, critics about the 150 best albums that were recorded by women. They have this fabulous list. So I've looked at it a couple of ways. And one way I looked at it is which were the oldest ones on there. So there's 11 of these that were produced in 1965 or before. Who are the artists? I don't need the names of the albums. Those are too obscure. The artists aren't. So of the 150 top albums, which 11 were recorded and published and noted before 1965? There's 11 of them.
Before 1965?
Yeah, 65.
Solo artists.
You know, in a couple cases, they sort of let it be women groups. So they said recorded by women, but...
Martha and the Vandellas?
They are not on that list. They're later.
What about Diana Ross and the Supremes?
They have one of them.
Okay.
Where did I love 65 them?
Is pretty close to the
it's
beginning.
It's pretty close, yeah. Well, I started later, but there were 11 was enough. So 64 for the Diana Ross. And there's no repeat, so we're looking for 10 more. Give you each one or two more each.
So it has to be, it's not a single, it has to be an album.
They're all albums. Yeah, but you don't need to get the album. You just need the singer.
So 65 is the cutoff. I'm just trying to run this over in my head. 65 is the cutoff year. So what would be the first, like the beginning?
64. There's none before 64, which surprised me. So none of your Doris Days and Rosie Clooney's. They're okay. All 64 and 65. That's right. I decided
severely
to
severely limits
that.
My knowledge.
I know. Sheb Woolley is not on
Sheb
this
Woolley
list.
Sheb Woolley is not on. Okay.
And all really well known to me except one.
What about Memphis Minnie?
Memphis Minnie's not on the list at all.
64, 65. I can think of the 50. Okay. If you don't mind, just read the question once more.
So the question is, NPR put out a list of the 100, it was recent, it was this couple months ago, the 150 best albums recorded by women or women's groups. And I was looking at the list and partly thinking about Aretha Franklin, and she's in a bunch of these lists, but she's, as a hint, she's not in this one. I want a list of the 10 women or women groups that had an album on this list was 1964 or 65, which are the oldest albums on the list.
Okay.
And Kara Gott, Diana Ross, and the Supremes, Where Did Our Love Go?
And we do have a couple of lines open. The two numbers to join us are area code 415-841-4134. Again, that's 415-841-4134 or toll free 866-798-8255. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello?
Hi, you're on.
Hi, I'm sorry. Okay, so let's talk about, astronomy for a sec. What is the brightest star in the sky?
Sirius, other than the sun.
Okay, well, you answered both of them. Truly, you're a pretty clever woman. Yes, the best star in the sky is the sun.
You've been here long enough where you've heard this question before from me, haven't you?
Well, no, usually when we hear this question, we go with Polaris first. Oh, this is the first time we actually got to Sirius right away.
Oh, okay.
But the sun is the brightest, and then Sirius. What does the name Sirius come from, or Sirius come from?
What is the name from?
That's actually played a big role in the our calendar.
Osiris? Is it Osiris?
Yeah, no. It's named as Star of Isis, the ancient Egyptian goddess.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's beautiful. And what the Egyptians used it to create the year we have today, the calendar we have today is based on it, because it coincides with the rising of the Nile. So they're very clever. And you notice that every time the star rises from the next year is 365 days. Yeah, so they divided the year into 12 months, and 7 days a week, and then they found that there was 5 extra days, and they added that later on. The quarter day was added even later on. Then Julius Caesar went to Egypt and stole the calendar, and they called it Julius calendar, which is a bunch of garbage. Okay, second question, very quickly. More interesting. Well, at least as interesting. Who are the only two U.S. presidents that were impeached?
Well, Clinton and Andrew Johnson.
Very good. A lot of people think Nixon was. He really wasn't. He quit before. Okay, so I like this. This very good. This Republican strategist, he's a Republican, hardcore Republican. He had written this book that came out a few months ago. It is titled, Everything Donald Trump Touches Dies.
Oh, yeah. It's out right now.
Who's the author? Is that the question?
Yeah, who's the author?
It's out right now.
Yeah, everything. And he does. And I'm very... I think the next thing that will die was the whole planet with everything in it, big and small. But what is the name of the author? He's actually Republican. He worked for Bush, and he worked for other Republicans.
Is it Rick Wilson?
Yes, it is.
All right.
It is. So I repeat the book again.
From our studio audience.
Donald Trump touches dies. The author is Rick Wilson. And he actually was in Forum, KQED, a couple of days ago. You can listen to his. It was very convincing. Thank you, guys. Always a great show.
Thank you, Ed.
Much better than Minds Over Matter. Thank you. Take care. Bye-bye.
Did he say much better than Minds Over Matter?
No one. Is that what he said?
Oh, well. Someday we're going to be up there with Minds Over Matter.
Yeah. One day.
I don't think so. It's too high of a bar.
Is it too high?
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Let me do a couple questions for you. Who is the only writer who's buried in a branch of the New York Public Library? Who is the only writer, quite a famous writer, who is the only writer who is buried in a branch of the New York Public Library?
Like one of the small neighborhood branches?
It's a fairly important library.
Is it a New York State or city writer? Like somebody born
in
that town?
They weren't born there, but that's where they were for most of their career.
No, I just want it to be like E.L. Konigsberg, who wrote from the Mixed Up Files of Mrs. Basile, Frank Weil, or whatever it was. But
I wish. That's not it, though. Somebody died not recently?
Not that recently, no.
Okay.
No. Again, who is the only writer who is buried in a branch of the New York Public Library?
What about Washington Irving?
No, it's a good guess. New Yorker. But no. All right.
Want to tell us fiction or nonfiction?
Both, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, both, I think. All right, second question. I'm going to give you four countries, and I want you to tell me what historical figure has been most portrayed in films from the United States, from each of these countries. So, in these four countries, which historical figure has been most portrayed on film, films made in the United States? Okay, here we go. Number one, Russia. Number two, Spain. And I will say in Spain there's a tie. Number three, Mexico. Number four, Italy. So again, I'm looking for what historical figure has been most portrayed on film, films made in the United States from each of those countries. So Russia, Spain, Mexico, Italy. I'll give you each one guess.
I'll try Lenin for Russia.
Not Lenin.
Okay.
I'm intrigued by the tie in Spain, but I'd like to guess Rasputin the Bad Monk for Russia.
That's a very good guess, but it is not Rasputin.
Or the Mad Monk.
I believe he is number three or so, or four. Okay. He's right up there.
Oh, do you have another one?
Oh, no, we were given one guess.
Oh, well,
we
were paying attention to that.
So again, what historical figure, real person, has to be a real person, has been most portrayed in films made in the United States from these countries? So Russia, Spain, Mexico, Italy. And then what writer is buried in a branch of the New York Public Library? I think it's the only writer buried in the branch of the New York Public Library. I could be wrong a little bit, but as far as I know. And the two numbers are area code 415-841-4134. That's 415-841-4134 or toll-free 866-798-8255. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Ever Matter.
Hi, it's Ed in Massachusetts.
Oh, hi, Ed. I haven't heard from you in a little while.
It's been a while. I've been missing you guys, but I'm happy to be back. I've lost a couple answers. Fraggle Rock, I actually knew.
Wow.
Good for you. Women's albums, I had Doris Day and Rosemary Clooney. Before you said it's not going back to Doris Day and Rosemary.
Yeah, they didn't make the cut. Can't explain it.
The only guess I got from the year that you gave would be the soundtrack of The Sound of Music, Julie Andrews.
No, that isn't on the top 100. And I don't think that would be considered an album by a woman.
Probably not.
Yeah.
Let me guess, buried in the New York Library, Edith Wharton.
That's a very good guess, but no.
Okay. Russians on film. My guess, my first thought was Rasputin also. How about Anastasia?
No.
No. From Spain, Don Quixote.
No, that's a fictional person.
Okay, yeah.
Right. Technically.
He's just been around so long in fiction, he's almost become real.
That's right.
Pancho Villa from Mexico.
Pancho Villa is correct.
Oh, nice.
All right, I got one.
Good.
You know, in Italy, I didn't even come up with a try.
All right.
Now, my question is also related to the passing of Aretha Franklin. She shows up on the list of the Record Industry Association's top albums, or top records, rather, of the century, of the 20th century, top 365 songs of the 20th century. She had one in the top 10. Which one of her songs was in the top 10?
I would guess Respect.
That was the one.
Okay.
There you go.
And then going on from there, how many of the top 10 can you name? These are the top 10. They call it top song. I think it's sales, but the way they label it, just top songs of the century.
And these are by anybody. So the Beatles could be on there. Or, you know.
It's actually quite a range. And the way I broke it out for you is a little hint. Two of them are from movies. One is a movie soundtrack album. Three of them I put in the category of Americana. There's one that's an instrumental, and there are three more rock era songs like Respect.
So Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to ask. You said soundtrack album, so it's the full album, or do you just mean a song from
the... It's the album. It's the original cast album. So that's a funky thing about this. These are primarily individual songs, and every now and then they'll drop in an album.
So is the soundtrack to Saturday Night Fever?
No.
Okay. Is it White Christmas?
White Christmas is on the list. That's at number two.
All right.
And these are from the 20th century.
The 20th century.
And it's worldwide, but does it skew American?
It's almost all American.
How about This Land Is Your Land?
That's it. That's number three. That's one of my Americana songs.
How about then God Bless America?
That's not on the list. That's not in the top ten. I see it here. It's number 19.
All right.
Is the album maybe Blues Brothers?
No.
Okay.
I'll give you a hint. It's movie and Broadway. They say original cast. I think they mean the movie, but it's also a top Broadway
show. So is it either Sound of Music or My Fair Lady?
No.
Lion King or Rent?
No.
I have a question. Are they kind of wholesome like the ones we're saying, or would it be Satisfaction by the Rolling Stones? Or I'm looking at the rock songs and trying to think, are they more like that or more like... more respectable, like Respect.
There's a wide range of everything. So,
what's the most recent song on there?
The most recent in the top 10 is 1971.
How about Bridge Over Troubled Water?
That's good.
No, good guess, but that's not in the top 10.
American Pie?
American Pie is number 5.
And is that one of your Americana songs?
No, that one I put in the rock era.
Oh, okay. Is there a Bob Dylan song?
It's a movie song.
Oh, yeah. Blowing in the Wind.
Is there a Bob
like
Dylan
that.
Song on the list?
What's that?
A Bob Dylan song on the list?
Not in the top 10.
Okay.
What about Moon River?
Moon River is not in the top 10.
How about Sitting by the Dock of the Bay?
Not in the top 10.
We're going to have to get this list. Maybe,
yeah, right.
Instrumental. Oh, and we're missing. Oh, right. The instrumental. What about, like, oh, that's not very good. I was thinking maybe Love is Blue or Classical Gas.
Yeah, I was thinking Classical Gas, too. Yeah. I was wondering about that.
It's older than that.
Older than Classical Gas.
It's gonna be, will it be a John Philip Sousa from 1898 in the beginning of the Billboard charts?
Almost. Actually, Sousa Stars and Stripes Forever is number 20 on the list.
Wow. How about Take Me Out to the Ball Game?
Take Me Out to the Ball Game is number 8.
Nice. Right. Hmm. Is Summertime on the list?
Not in the top 10.
All right.
Age of Aquarius?
No.
Okay.
You said White. Let's see. You got White Christmas, This Land Is Your Land, Respect, American Pie, Take Me Out to the Ball Game.
A question on the movie ones. Are they theme songs from the movies or songs that are sung in the movies, the two movie ones?
It's sung in the movie. It's not the title of the movie, but it's absolutely connected to the movie.
How old are those?
The one that's here, it's actually number one on the list. It's the number one song of the century.
Oh, Over the Rainbow.
Over the Rainbow.
Very nice.
Absolutely.
All right.
One of the songs is by a singing group, and the style of music is in the title of the song.
Oh, is it Swing, Swing, Swing?
No, it's Rock Around the Clock,
oh,
I bet.
That's good.
No, neither of those, but that's the right thinking.
Rock and Roll Music?
No.
Disco Older. Inferno?
1941.
Oh.
Ooh.
41.
Well, that's good. Swing, Swing, Swing. That, yeah.
Right, but then he said sung, which doesn't
Boogie Woogie words. Bugle Boy.
That's it.
Good.
Oh, nice.
That's at number 6.
All right.
I think we're missing the soundtrack album, the instrumental, and one more rock era song that has been
co-opted into
a number of movies ever since.
Is the instrumental more like, jazz or rock?
Yeah, more like that.
What about...
Pre-jazz, technically.
How about In the Mood?
Older than that. That came in at number 11.
Chattanooga Choo Choo.
A little older than that, I think.
It's an instrumental, right? So that would.
Oh, so didn't you say Sing, Sing, Sing?
I did, yeah.
It's not Benny Goodman. It's not a swing band?
Nope. It's not a band. It's an individual.
Oh, so not anything Glenn Miller, then.
Not Glenn Miller.
Al Jolson?
Oh, that's good.
Bing Crosby?
Nope.
So we're both looking for the instrumental and one more American.
If I gave you the style of music, it would be a giveaway.
Frank Mills Music Box answer. Yeah.
If you gave me the style of music, it would be the giveaway.
Well, that's okay. Give us the style.
Yeah, give us the style.
Ragtime.
Oh, then the Maple Leaf Rag.
No.
Not the Entertainer?
The Entertainer.
Oh, Alexander's Ragtime Band.
The Entertainer.
Oh, the Entertainer. Okay.
Oh, I thought you said not Al Jolson.
Yeah.
That's not it.
That's
Scott
Joplin. Joplin. Yeah, all right. I'm sorry.
You better fill in the blanks for us.
I think what you're missing, let's see, the soundtrack was West Side Story.
Okay.
And the only other song in the top 10 was You've Lost That Lovin' Feeling.
Oh, of course. All right.
Well, very good.
Thanks, Ed. Appreciate it.
Thank you. All right. Good night.
Good night. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Hope you enjoy the show. Please feel free to call in with a question or answer. Those two numbers are area code 415-841-4134 or toll-free 866-798-8255. Our panel tonight, technical editor Kira Pace, Lori Fisher, semi-retired professor, Diablo Valley College. I'm your moderator, Dana Rodriguez, and you're listening to us on 91.7 FM. That is KALW, your local public radio station. And it's Kira's turn.
Okay. So, on IMDb, on the various director pages, the pages will list the director's signature trademarks. So I'm going to give you a set of trademarks, a few sets of trademarks. You tell me the director that I am describing. So I will give you eight, and you can each have two, and then the other four will go to the audience.
And is this something that's in the movie or something
These
literally
are
like on director their business card?
Director trademarks, meaning it features in a lot of their movies.
Okay.
Like you hear something, you're like, oh, that's clearly going to be directed by so-and-so.
Okay.
How old does this question skew?
They skew back to the 30s.
Okay.
So
acceptable.
But there's acceptable. All right. So I will read all of them, and then you can take the ones you want. The first one, the set is cameo appearances, leading blonde actresses, blurring the moral distinction between the innocent and the guilty, inserted shots focusing on women's hairstyles, frequently as a close-up, and a plot involves a MacGuffin. So that all is the first one.
There's not much for each one?
No, okay. That's just for that one. The second one, pop culture references, Mexican standoffs, red apple cigarettes, Zippo lighters, and a focus on women's feet. The next one, title card set in Futura bold, extreme wide-angle shots, symmetrical framing, velvet stage curtains, and a final scene that ends in a slow-motion shot. Also, Bill Murray. The next one, slow-motion sequences, Mexican standoffs, characters in sunglasses and trench coats, and white doves. Maybe I'll just do two more. The next one, dialogue-driven films. Main character is a persecuted man striving for justice. Films take place over a short period of time, shot in New York City, corrupt or inept authority figures, and films take place in a single confined location. And the last one I'll do is this one, American flags, the U.S. military, a man screaming in slow motion, helicopters at sunrise or sunset, slow motion low angle 360 degree shots, and explosions.
A lot to process.
Yeah. So,
is the last one Coppola?
No. The explosions? No.
Yeah.
The first one's Hitchcock.
Yeah. Yes, the first one is Hitchcock.
I think I know the next. You want to take? I think I know
what was
the next.
What was number two again, please?
Next one is pop culture references, Mexican standoffs, red apple cigarettes, Zippo lighters, and a focus on women's feet.
That's Tarantino.
That is Tarantino. Yep.
You want us to do one more?
Yes.
I think the third one with title cards and the like is Wes Anderson.
That is Wes Anderson.
Yeah.
Whew. All right.
All right.
So, did you want one more?
Or no.
Did you
leave them out?
Okay.
We'll let people answer. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, is it me?
It is you.
Oh, I'm Joel in San Francisco.
Hi, Joel.
And I have some answers.
Okay.
I think the last question, the New York shots, are Sidney Lumet.
It is. Okay.
Good job.
The Russian movie often shown. person is Alexander, Tsar Alexander?
Good guess, but no.
Okay. The women albums, Sarah Vaughan and Ella Fitzgerald?
Ella Fitzgerald, yes. She sings the Johnny Mercer songbook, but not the other one.
Okay.
Sarah Vaughan's not on that list.
So she should be.
I agree. She might be higher. She might have a later album on the list. This is all 1965 or before.
Okay. Well, I have some questions that are not my own. My wife and myself get out of Dodge here because of the fog and go off on whenever to places with the sun and warmth. And on weekends, we sometimes end up in San Mateo and look at a free newspaper called the Daily Journal.
Yeah.
And in that paper is a weekend column of Know-It-All, which lists not all questions, but can be turned into questions right up Minds Over Matters. Ball of wax there.
Okay.
So I'm going to give you three. The woman who puts this out is named Carrie McArdle, so I want to give her credit, and I think you'll like these questions.
You there?
What? Yeah, I'm here. Most American car horns honk in what key?
Is it E?
Nope.
I'll say A.
I have read this.
Nope.
Okay. F.
Yes.
Oh, nice. All right.
What city in the United States has the most used bookstores as of this year? I'm sure a few more have gone under since.
Is this per capita or
per capita?
Okay. Maybe Portland?
Nope.
That's a good guess.
Austin, Texas.
No.
It's a major city.
Yeah, well, semi-major.
Is it a college town?
Yes.
Madison, Wisconsin?
Nope.
Ann Arbor, Michigan?
Nope.
That's good, yeah.
You want to go up in altitude?
Oh. Up in the mountains?
Yeah.
All right.
College town, Denver? Up in the mountains.
Denver?
No, what is
Boulder.
No, what is next to Denver?
Boulder.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Nice.
I thought that was very odd. Okay. And the third one that she had is, I'm sure one of you will get this. Who was on the cover, and what year did TV Guide come out?
It's Lucille Ball.
No.
Oh.
It's not?
Well, I thought it was. Well, then I'll defer to my panelists.
It would make sense, but it wasn't.
Oh, I was sure it was.
The year it
so is it 54?
Nope. The year before.
53. You're sure it wasn't like Little Ricky or something like that?
You got it.
All right. Yeah. So, okay. I mean, you were. Yeah.
It wasn't Lucille
Ball. His mother.
Right. Okay. Little Ricky Arness.
All right.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you very much.
Bye. It was Baby Desi.
Oh, baby. I'm
baby
sorry.
Yeah,
thank you. Not Little Ricky.
Yeah. Sorry.
And Lori, it's your turn.
All right. This is a little bit of a holdover. So this summer we were in Wales a little bit. And one thing that I learned by looking around is there are five actors who are born in Wales. This includes actresses who have won Academy Awards for acting.
And you're speaking of Wales, the country.
Yes.
Not Pinocchio.
Yes. Correct.
Right.
So I'm looking, I'll give you one each, and we'll put the rest out for the audience. So five people have won Oscars for acting, supporting or not supporting, and who were born in Wales. I'm looking for who they are. And then you'll know the movies, too. Go.
Catherine Zeta-Jones.
Yeah,
which
good job.
I think she got it. Was it Chicago or
it
Traffic?
Was.
Chicago?
It was for Chicago. Okay. Very good.
So I can't say Richard Burton. He was nominated, but he never won.
I know. Everybody says Richard Burton, but nominated, what, seven or eight times?
Yeah.
Yeah, not Richard Burton.
Okay.
Is correct.
Wales.
Wales. More from Wales than from Ireland, which really surprised me.
Hmm. How far back does it go?
The 40s. And then quite a bit of time span. I think there's 40s, 50s, I'm guessing 80s and 2000s are all in there. So we've been entertaining Welsh actors for quite a while.
Are there any more Joneses?
There's no more Joneses or Zeta Joneses. Catherine has run the table with
them. Emmeline Williams.
Not Emmeline Williams.
Richard Burton. Was the 40s one supporting supporting or
the lead? Earliest one in the 40s, I'm pretty sure it's the 40s, is a Best Actor.
Jeez.
I'll leave it out there for...
All right. Read the question once more.
So there have been 5 Oscar-winning actors or actresses who were born in Wales, and here I got Catherine Zeta-Jones, who won Supporting Actress for Chicago. I'm looking for the 4 others. And Richard Burton, correctly, is not one of them.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter. Hi, are you there? No? All right, next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Michelle in Richmond. Hi, how are you doing?
Hi, Michelle. Good, thank you.
Good. So we were going to guess for the person from Italy that has been in a lot of American movies, or there's been a lot of movies about, is would it be Christopher Columbus?
That's an excellent guess, and I probably would have guessed that myself, but it is not Christopher Columbus. Yeah.
Okay, that's all we have. Thanks.
Thank you very much.
Is it Marco Polo?
It's not Marco Polo.
Okay. Very popular.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hey, this is Fred in West Virginia.
Hi, Fred.
Okay. Ray Milland is Welch.
Oh, that is correct.
Right.
What movie did
Lost
he win
Weekend,
for? Lost Weekend.
Oscar for Lost Weekend.
Good job.
Okay.
Very good.
I was going to guess Shep Woolley, but that's not right.
I know. Yeah,
people think he's from Wales, but he's not.
Okay, so... this is about old movies back to Friday, okay, past Friday. Black Klansman, the character, the actor who played the lead role. Who was his father?
Denzel Washington.
Washington.
Greg and I just saw that last week, so yeah.
Okay.
We knew that.
It's Denzel Washington's kid.
What job did he have, John David Washington? What job did he have before acting?
Was he a professional athlete?
Yes. What sport?
Football.
He's kind of
even though he's 5'8", he was a wide receiver. For the Rams, he played for the St. Louis Rams.
Good job.
And what part did he play in the recent HBO hit Baller?
Was this a real person he played?
No. What was his occupation in Baller?
Don't know. Don't watch that.
Don't know. Don't watch it.
Wide receiver. And he was a football player.
Yeah.
Huh. Okay, and he appeared in one other Spike Lee production.
Oh, he was a little kid. He was a baby. No, I don't know if he's a baby, but he was very young in Malcolm X.
Yes.
Wow.
And what was the one line he had in the movie? At age 9.
Oh, he wasn't that young. Don't know.
Remember the end of the movie?
Mm-mm. No. I mean, I saw it, but I don't remember.
Was it about his father had been shot? Was it after that?
I don't think he played Malcolm X's.
No, he didn't play his father, but he had a cameo. Denzel Washington's son at age 9 had a cameo.
Right.
In Malcolm X.
And you want to know his last line in the movie?
We don't know his line, no.
I am Malcolm X.
Oh.
It was a bunch of little kids in a classroom, and they were standing up, I am Malcolm X.
Nice.
Did you like the film?
I did. You mean the Black Klansman or Malcolm X?
Yeah.
Both. I like both of them, actually. But yes.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Just let's repeat any questions quickly that have not been answered yet. Kira, I'll let you go first.
I'm only looking for 2 directors whose set of trademarks include these. The first one, slow motion sequences, Mexican standoffs, characters in sunglasses and trench coats, and white doves. The other one is American flags, the U.S. military, a man screaming in slow motion, helicopters at sunrise or sunset, slow motion low angle 360 degree shots, and explosions.
How about Clint Eastwood for the last one?
No.
Oh. How about Sam Peckinpah?
No.
All right.
This guy is more explosive than either of those.
All right. Lori.
And I am looking at the 150 best albums by women. I'm looking, the list was for the ones recorded in 1964 or 65. We have Diana Ross and the Supremes and Ella Fitzgerald. I'm looking for 9 others. Come on, people. And then there have been 5 actors or actresses who have won Oscars for acting, and we have Catherine Zeta-Jones and Fred from West Virginia got Ray Milland. That was the oldest of the list for the last weekend. Looking for three more.
All right. Who is the only writer, and it's an quite a famous American writer, the only writer buried in a branch of the New York Public Library? And
Henry James?
No. And he would never allow himself to not that happen to him. He was too much of a snob.
He was dead.
Yeah, that's true. He's dead. And I'm going to give you three countries, and I'm going to ask you what historical figure has been most portrayed, what historical figure from those countries has been most portrayed in American films? So what historical figure from these countries has been most portrayed in American films? Somebody got Mexico, which was Pancho Villa, so you get the general idea. The other three countries are Italy, Russia, and Spain. And Spain has a tie, basically.
Michelangelo for Italy?
Not Michelangelo. And since I think it's my turn, right?
Yes.
Can I take a quick crack at Lori's ladies questions?
Yeah.
Sorry. What about Mary Wells or the Dixie Cups?
Mary Wells, no, and the Dixie Cups.
Isn't it Dixie Cups?
Well, there's the Dixie Chicks.
It's the Dixie Bells.
Yeah.
Dixie Bells.
Neither.
Sorry. Okay.
Neither.
Sorry.
But you're right to think in at least two of them are groups, are what were called girl groups.
Right.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Both good guesses.
Okay.
And of the all right, here's my question. I'd like to, let's see, the list of the 50 longest-running American TV shows. And when I say these are dramatic network shows, okay? So they're not variety shows. They're scripted, dramatic. They can be comic, but they're scripted shows. So of the 50 longest-running network TV shows, there are 9 that I could find in the top 50 that had a city mentioned in the title. So, what are the 9 TV shows, dramatic TV shows, that had a city mentioned in the title of the show, of the 50 longest-running primetime network TV shows?
And are they real or are fictional or both?
None of them are fictional cities.
So, is Dallas one?
Dallas is number one.
About Beverly Hills 90210?
That is number 2.
That was in last week's with shows with numbers in the title.
Right.
Yeah.
No.
Let's see, the Chicago Fire or something.
Oh,
yeah,
right.
But that's that one.
So, once more.
How about NYPD Blue?
That is one of them, too.
Well,
very good.
That Providence show I'd never heard of before. Providence?
No.
Okay.
So, of the 50 longest-running network primetime scripted TV shows, if that's enough qualifiers for you, what are the 9 I could find that had... cities listed in the title of the show. So there you go.
So we got 3. So
you got 3. Dallas, Beverly Hills, 90210, and NYPD. And no.
And a lot of audience.
And let's go to
tonight.
A call.
That's great.
Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Thomas in Berkeley.
Hi, Thomas.
So if Columbus didn't make hit Italy, does he represent Spain?
Good guess.
No. That's quite a logical guess, but
yeah.
No.
Okay.
He's Italian. I can't represent Spain.
Well.
Right, but I thought he might make it in Spain.
He's from where the bridge collapsed.
Okay, you got me.
Yeah.
Italy, St. Francis?
That's a good guess, but no.
Okay, well, I'm getting good guesses.
Half bells.
Yeah. These lady singers?
Yeah.
Tina Turner?
No.
That's
a great guess, but no.
K-Star?
K-Star is a really good guess, but not on the list at all.
I'm just doing the best guesses, not the real ones. And Patti Page?
I don't think
singing.
I know.
Yeah.
I'm going to be so close to a bell the whole night.
Yeah. If we add up all your quarter bells, you almost have one.
I have my hand over right now, waiting for you to get one right.
So what about some teamwork here? Because wasn't Michael Douglas involved in a San Francisco thing?
Yes, but that's not one of the longest.
Of San Francisco.
That's not one of the longest running shows.
Okay. Now let's see if I can finally get an answer with a bell. Anthony Hopkins for Best Actor.
Give him a bell.
Oh, I worked for it.
And it's a silent bell because it's Silence of the Lambs. Very nice. You earned it, Thomas.
Thank you.
Thanks, Thomas. And next call. Hi, you're on Mind Over Matter.
Hi, it's Dave Dixon from San Clemente. How you doing?
Hi, Dave. I knew you years ago. Yeah, right.
I used to call this show all the time.
And then you moved to Europe or something, right?
Yeah. Okay. I'm back. I'm teaching physics down in Orange County now.
All right.
Way to go.
I got a movie question for you.
Okay, Dave.
All right, so it's an Oscar question. All right. There have been three actors who have won Best Actor for playing actors.
Go ahead.
Robert Downey Jr. in Tropic Thunder.
No, not Best Supporting Actor.
I'm sorry. You said Best Actor, didn't you? Sorry.
Ronald Coleman in A Double Life.
Okay.
So
then there's four, actually, because I missed that one.
Okay. All right. What's the earliest one?
The earliest one I have is from the 40s.
Well, that's Ronald Coleman. That's the 40s, but you're thinking of another one that's
right
in the 40s.
Actor is one of the many roles this person has.
Are they all fictional actors? Do any of them play real-life actors?
Two are fictional, one is real.
Did Dustin Hoffman win for Tootsie?
He did not. Okay. Ben Kingsley won. Okay. Yeah.
And so you're not... It has to be Best Actor, not Best Supporting, correct?
Right.
Okay.
We should know this.
I know, we should know it. So this was their only profession, or you said that...
Not their only profession, but it was a profession. Sometimes it was their only profession, but in at least one instance, they did other things too.
No, for a second, I forgot that Michael Keaton had to sit back down with his acceptance speech because he didn't win.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Oh, for the...
For Birdman, yeah.
Yeah.
40s. And they're all Best Actor, I'm sorry?
Yeah.
Best Actor, yeah.
They're all Best Actor.
Okay. Oh, God. Sometimes as I get older, it takes me longer to go through the list in my head.
We need another. How about another hint?
Yeah, give us another
stage
hint.
Actors or movie actors?
So the first one, the one from the 40s, is a musical.
Yeah.
It's an actor from a musical.
Gene Kelly didn't win.
Oh, Bing Crosby? No.
No.
No, he's not playing. He's playing a priest. Aren't that many musicals people want to.
Oh, James Cagney.
James Cagney, that's it.
Yeah,
good job.
Yeah.
For Yankee Doodle Dandy.
Right.
Okay, so there were two. One is in the 70s, and one was within the last 10 years.
I hate to do this, but no, we're not getting anything, so...
Okay. So the one in the 70s was Richard Dreyfuss for The Goodbye Girl.
All right, good.
And the most recent one was Jean Dujardin for The Artist.
All right.
Good question.
I'm sorry we didn't do a little better with it.
Stumped us.
All right. Have a good one, guys.
Call us back, Dave. Take it easy.
Okay, we'll do.
Bye-bye. And who has a short question?
I do.
Don't all speak at once.
So recently, the American Medical Association, AMA, added a fifth vital sign. The four everybody knows are blood pressure, pulse rate, respiratory rate, and temperature. There's now a fifth one that they get in every hospital visit. What is it?
What are those again?
Blood pressure. This is why it's short. The four are that we all have had: blood pressure, pulse rate, respiratory rate, and temperature. There's now a fifth one. What's the fifth vital sign? Good.
Is this something you have to test, or is it obvious, or is it? Can you do it with just staring, looking at somebody?
You can't do it with just looking at somebody.
It's not reflexes, is it?
It's not reflexes. That's not a vital
sign. Sort of eye dilation or anything?
That's not one, a vital sign. I think it's one they look at, but it's not considered a vital sign, at least according to my internet. Hmm. I will say this. You're more likely, this may be giving it away, to have it be important if you're in the hospital than if you just go in for your yearly physical. Although I suspect they'll ask you in your physical, too, but it's going to turn up more.
Do you have your wallet with you?
Can you afford your copay?
I know.
Yeah.
All right. Leave it on.
looking for the fifth vital sign that the AMA has declared to be that, to add to blood pressure, pulse rate, respiratory rate, and temperature.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Vanessa from Oakland.
Hi, Vanessa.
Hi. I got my Frischer Bell used by Thomas at Anthony Hopkins.
I'm sorry. Here's your but honorary bell.
Thank you. I'm going to take some stabs.
Great.
Historical figure from Italy, Leonardo da Vinci?
Good guess, but no.
No, okay. How about Catherine the Great from Russia?
Also a good guess, but no.
I told you I'm taking stabs.
That's all right.
Okay. For female singer, Joni Mitchell?
Joni Mitchell is later. All her albums that are on the list, she has two or three, are later. In fact, she has the number one top album of all time on that list, but that's way past.
Is that Blue?
It is Blue, yeah. Wow. But that was 68, I think.
Oh, well. That's all I got.
All right.
Well, thank you, though.
Great show.
Thank you.
Italy? How about Dante?
Not Dante.
How about Mussolini?
Not Mussolini.
How about Julius Caesar?
Julius Caesar is correct.
Oh, yes. Very good.
The historical figure most portrayed on film from Italy is Julius Caesar.
So is Spain, since it's a tie, would that also be maybe like Ferdinand and Isabella?
You're half right.
Isabella?
Just Isabella.
Okay.
But not Ferdinand.
And there's another person, but not. It's not Ferdinand.
No. And not related to that time period?
Yes, it is related to that time period. Yes.
Well, it would be...
Oh, nice.
Catherine of Aragon.
No. Oh. And let's all that work for no dividend. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello.
Hi, you're on.
Hi, it's Peter of San Francisco.
Hi, Peter.
The top 50 TV shows is One Chicago Hope.
It is not.
L.A. Law.
L.A. Law is correct.
Oh, that's good.
Miami Vice.
No, but Miami's in there.
Oh, really?
What other show can you think of with Miami in the title?
How about Hawaiian Eye?
No, from the city.
With Connie Stevens, remember that?
I know, yeah. She played, what's her name, Pepper or something? Or
Kitten.
Kitten Pepper.
No, not Kitten.
No, Pepper was Anderson, Angie Dickinson.
You're right.
Miami.
Cricket.
Cricket, yes, thank you.
Yes, okay. Now, I seem to remember when I was about 13 years old in 1965 that Barbara Streisand's album first came out.
That's correct. It's her in Funny Girl, of all things.
Good job.
That's correct.
I began a lifelong fascination with Barbara Streisand.
Well, you've kept up good work.
How about Dionne Warwick?
She's not in that list.
All right, and I just have one more comment.
Mm-hmm.
Pertaining to your current advertisement that's running for this show on this station, Dana Rodriguez.
Yes.
I want you to stop lying and admit for the record that you were 10 years old when this program started.
Yes, I was 10
years
old.
What does he claim in the ad?
I was 5 years old.
Okay. I heard your soul.
I always slice a few years off my age.
All right. False news.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much.
How about
bye-bye.
WKRP in Cincinnati for the TV show?
Perfectly reasonable guess, but no.
So CSI Miami?
Yes, CSI Miami. There you go.
I didn't know of that.
Yeah.
Are there any other CSIs on the list?
There is.
Oh, then is Las Vegas one?
No.
What are the others? I don't know. CSI Nashville.
Oh, no, they're not L.A.
Peoria. Okay, we'll leave
Zanesville.
It on there.
And next call?
Fresno.
Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Tom out wherever.
Tom.
CSI New York.
CSI New York, yes. Yeah. You can mention the city more than once.
Well,
yes.
I didn't know there
Let's see. And how about Vegas?
No.
Oh.
The great Dan Tana. let's see. White Gloves and Sunglasses as a movie thing. Is that... Bryan Singer?
Oh, no. No, White Doves, like the birds.
Oh, White Doves. Okay. Yeah. Is that Bryan Singer?
No.
Okay. Helicopters and Explosions. Is that Michael Bay?
Sure is.
No, right. No wonder I didn't know it.
The auteur. Yeah. the writer buried in a branch is that Man of the People, J.D. Salinger.
No, it's not.
Guess. Not Langston Hughes?
It is Langston Hughes.
Oh,
yes.
Awesome.
Excellent answer.
Yeah.
He is buried at the Schomburg Center, which is a branch of the New York Public Library, a collections branch.
That's
Russia, is it Stalin?
It is Stalin.
In the movie?
Yes. For Russia.
Yay.
Good job.
Vital sign, is that rate of saliva production?
It is not.
Oh, well, that's a good guess.
Yeah.
EEG?
No.
Brainwaves? No.
Not brainwaves.
Shoot. Yep. Okay. How about some of the albums? Nancy Sinatra?
Nancy did not make the list at all.
Ooh, thank that's God. About the right. Okay. It's around
it's
these
the right
boots
time,
were made for walking,
but she isn't in the top 150.
All right.
Yeah, one song. I would. Yeah. One song does not make an album. Billie Holiday is probably too late for that.
Yeah.
Billie Holiday's not on the list. Yeah.
No, she died in 59.
Yeah, she was gone by then. Yeah, and I think Mary Ford was probably.
I would love
to
see Mary
the
Ford
wind by then.
But I think everything with her would be with Les Paul, so not on the list.
Okay, and then when I was a young kid, who did Cheb Woolley live next door to?
Well, when was that? What, like when you were 10?
Yeah.
He lived next door to you?
No, my grandma.
Oh, really?
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
There you go.
How could we not know that?
yeah, exactly.
Did they have a friendship?
We packed 25 years of Cheb Woolley mentions in one show.
Yeah. It was up in Ojai, up above Lake Casitas.
Okay.
So yeah, they knew each other. Wasn't friends, but you know, good neighbors.
Right.
You'd wave at them. What Alex Jones of the so-called news website InfoWars, he has appeared in two films by what filmmaker?
Dinesh D'Souza.
No, by what Oscar-nominated filmmaker?
Clint Eastwood.
Nope.
Okay.
You mean in a dramatic role? Or as himself?
Kind
which is
of
a dramatic
playing
role.
Himself. Yeah, but yeah. And it's not a big role.
What about maybe Altman?
No.
No. No, you better tell us. Don't know.
Richard Linklater.
Oh, that doesn't seem like
he was in Waking Life and the other rotoscoped movie. What is it? A Scanner Darkly.
Oh. Interesting.
His brief roles, because he was an Austin fixture as kind of a crank back in the day.
Well, thank you very much.
So, thanks. Bye. Right.
Hate to do this. We have calls on the line, but we got to clean up because we're almost out of time. So, Kira.
Real quick, what about Martha and the Vandellas?
Martha and the Vandellas, their album's a little bit later.
Okay, sorry.
It's a great guess.
All right, well, the only thing I have out is the slow motion sequences, Mexican standoffs, characters in sunglasses and trench coats, and white doves, the birds, those are trademarks of director John Woo.
Oh.
The fifth vital sign is pain. When they ask you to rate your pain on a scale, the two Welsh actors we didn't get, one is Hugh Griffith for Ben-Hur, and the other's more recent, Christian Bale, one a supporting actor for The Fighter.
Oh, I didn't even know he was Welsh.
Yeah. Mm. Oh, he is. He's got a big Welsh accent if you hear him. And the albums that we miss, the singers we miss, it's a great list. Nina Simone, I Put a Spell on You, Astra Gilberto, The Shangri-Las, The Great Shangri-Las, Odetta, Etta James, The Ronettes, Buffy St. Marie, and a singer I don't know who our audience, I hope, does, named Kalthum, an Egyptian singer in 1964.
Oh, Eid'll be calling momentarily.
It may be Eid's favorite singer. Okay. Anyway, so that's our list. Everybody should go out and listen to all those albums. They're terrific.
All right. And of the 50 longest-running scripted network TV shows, the ones nobody got that have cities in the title, NCIS LA, Cheyenne, and The King of Queens.
Oh.
So, if we didn't get your call, I do apologize. Please remember
did
the Minds Over
Spain?
Matter.
Did we get the other Spanish?
We did. Okay. Oh, Cortez. I'm sorry. Was the other Spanish?
Oh, Cortez.
Cortez. What's that?
Italy.
No, that's for Spain.
Caesar was Italy.
Julius Caesar. And, anyway, I lost my train of thought. I'll have to start over. And my thanks to our panel tonight, Kira Pace, technical editor, Lori Fisher, Diablo Valley College. I've been your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. And our thanks, of course, Debbie Kennedy and Steve Wilcott for handling the board and phones tonight. And above all, our great thanks to you for taking the time to tune in and call in. So please join us next Sunday at 7 p.m. for more of this, if you enjoyed it. And have a great week, everybody. Take care. Bye-bye.